Hey everyone, welcome to Connect the Dots. I'm Jeremiah Garcia, your host from Guide Dogs of Hawaii. This is a safe space for blind and visually impaired individuals to come together, share experiences, and learn from each other. Today, our guest is aspiring to provide cybersecurity. He went to school at Kapi'olani Community College for his associates and UH West Oahu for his bachelor's. He is currently attending school at Virginia Tech University. He has volunteered at ATRC, worked at Guide Dogs of Hawaii, and at a corporate company's help desk. I want to welcome Ankar Nurikar to Connect the Dots and start off by asking, what inspired you to study cybersecurity?
So I always knew when I was young is that I wanted to be in tech. I think as I went to school and I took courses in undergrad, you take your prereqs and, you have those courses that just, kind of introduce you to different topics. And, you learn about the industry that you're studying and what you're facing, what career paths you have in the tech field, I guess, for me. And I said, cybersecurity is a great up and coming field. There's a lot of potential for growth, and of course I was interested in it. It's nothing that I chose per se in the sense that I knew I was going to be going into cybersecurity. I knew I wanted to go into IT, but picking cybersecurity came from learning about the industry through the courses that I took. When I was doing my associate's and my undergraduate degree. So that's kind of how I got into cybersecurity as a thought process of like, that's something I can get into.
Okay. Was there anything that pulled you into the IT field?
I have been fascinated with technology since I was a kid. Like a lot of blind and low vision people, we use technology every day in our lives from childhood. I remember using those big CCTVs with the big VA panels with the little gray tree underneath it, and you had knobs on it with all this big contraption, right? That was sitting on a cart or sitting on a desk somewhere in the back of the room. You put your paper underneath it, and it magnified the 12-point font to, 18, 36, 40 font. You can change the colors. To me, that was fascinating, just the way technology, evolved. You started with those big panels, and then as I got older, the CCTV became smaller, they became just like boom arms and with a camera attached to it that could, you could sit in the back of the room and you could focus the camera to the whiteboard, and it was connected to, an external monitor or even your laptop at that time. Yeah, I had a laptop. And so just seeing the evolution of how technology was for me as growing up and how it helped me in school, even from just being able to read books through audiobooks, and the way that technology, we started with tapes to CDs and then to using a Victor Reader Stream with digital audio, to eventually getting an iPhone, and how all of that was combined and how you used these and how the technology evolved to help you not only in your personal life, but in your education. And just that idea of how technology evolves and what it can do for people fascinated me. And I wanted to be a part of that industry. I wanted to be a part of that movement and I wanted to be part of the tech field, and I wanted to be on the forefront of technology, and that's something that really interested me.
That makes sense. So you mentioned, yeah, you know, about getting prerequisites and stuff like that in your field. So what kind of schooling and training was required to complete in order to get into this field of work you're in?
I started out going to community college, just like anybody. I didn't go to UH Manoa. I went to KCC. I went to California Community College. I did some prereqs there, just like, you know, my English courses, and just your basic classes. And I honestly, the IT field, you know, I said earlier that the IT field was, you know, my passion. IT was my passion. Technology was my passion. But when I went, you take your art courses, you have to take some prereqs. And so I really loved new media arts. I got into graphic design as my first path of career choice. I mean, you know, in as a degree choice. But can come to find out, I'm not a great artist. I can't draw freehand circles to save my life. So I decided, you know what, maybe the art, you know, becoming a graphic designer isn't my cup of tea. But I still thought that it was cool, because even though I wasn't in IT, I was still using technology to influence people. And I thought, you know, from that artistic angle would be cool. But, you know, at the end of the day, we can sit there for fun, but as a career choice, maybe not so much for me. So, and then my next one was, you know what, and then I wanted to go into becoming a software developer. And so I took some software, you know, courses in community college, of course, and learned how to program and how to, you know, write code and whatnot. And I enjoyed that very much too. Although I found that very interesting, of how you can write code and manipulate hardware and technology to do things for you the way you want it to be done. I think that was really cool. But again, maybe not my cup of tea. I don't want to be sitting at the computer. For me, I wanted technology, and I wanted my field of where I was going. I wanted to be able to help people directly, and I wanted to see the impact that it helped. Now, becoming a software developer and becoming a web, maybe a web designer or an art, and going to more the artistic side, you're still impacting people's life, but you're not seeing the direct impacts of that directly in front of your face. You know, long term it will help, but you don't see those immediate impacts. And I wanted to be in the forefront of technology, helping somebody right then, and I wanted to see that change in front of me. And that's how, for me, when I got into tech, you know, I thought about all these choices of what courses I wanted to take, you know, and how those courses would impact my growth, and widen my knowledge. And so after community college, then I settled on saying, you know what, I want to go into technology and IT. And I found out that KCC was not kind of where I wanted to be, because it didn't have the right programs that I was looking at. But when I looked, I saw that Honolulu Community College, HCC, actually had a very interesting program. It had a very IT / cybersecurity focus, where it was more of a technical program, where it was more hands-on. It was not as abstract, because the courses that I was taking at the time at KCC were more book oriented and were more abstract, and you're kind of learning concepts, you're learning concepts, but you weren't really implementing concepts, maybe in a lab environment, or you weren't hands-on with technology. The courses at HCC, which I transferred to as my to finish off my associates, you know, that program there was more hands-on and it was more vocational. And I think that was the way I wanted to learn, is more hands-on. And so I finished my associates there. Once I graduated from my associates at HCC, I started going to UH West Oahu. And again, similar concepts. Now there was a lot more book work, a lot more reading, a lot more material, I guess, conceptual courses. A little less hands-on because it's a university versus a vocational school. But still, the teachers and the professors that were at UH West Oahu doing my bachelor's still brought relevant lab work as well as book work into the classroom, because again, the trend here is that the professors are still working in the field. You know, they're still, you know, either working in industry or they run their own businesses, and they bring back the relevant knowledge to the classroom again. So that's kind of how, you know, my education progressed. And then I got my bachelor's, you know, and I graduated. And so, you know, that was my undergrad, I guess, experience for me of, you know, for my personal achievement. I wanted to get my undergraduate degree, my bachelor's degree. But, you know, I started from the bottom. I got my associate's and my bachelor's. That being said, and I landed up on Virginia Tech. So I am currently a senior in Virginia Tech. This is like my second to my last semester as a master's student in Virginia Tech. And so that's kind of what I did. And the great thing about it was everything was online. I didn't have to leave Hawaii right away, but I have the option to.
You had aspiring dreams and goals, but it ends up costing a lot because of college. Were you able to find any assistance programs to help you achieve these goals?
I did get help going to school. You know, a lot of you are DVR clients, or will become DVR clients when you get into high school. And I was one of those too. I was a DVR client. Ho'opono helped me out in my undergrad. You know, Ho'opono did pave the way for my success, for getting my bachelor's. You know, going to community college, and then of course getting my bachelor's degree. That's no secret. Ho'opono has done that for many students, not just me. There's many students before me, and you know, the next generation you're the next generation. So I'm sure some of you will be also, if you apply, if you want to go to school and talk to your counselors, depending on what's happening in the world and whatnot, you know, you can get financial assistance from Ho'opono and from grants. Of course, you have FAFSA, your federal student aid monies. You have different grants you can apply for. So I think that when you think about going to college, yes, it's a big expense. But as a person with a disability who's visually impaired and blind, we are fortunate to have services in places that will give us grants to pay for school and our books and our technology that we need to become successful. You know, that also being said, Ho'opono is not the only place you can look for grants for financial assistance. I also gotten grants from other blind organizations within Hawaii to also pave the way for my education too. You know, that could be going to HEB, going to NFB of Hawaii, HEB of Hawaii, and asking financial assistance from them too, and seeing if they'll give you financial aid for school.
On that note, you went to college for a while, you got your degrees and went to a bunch of classes, but you also mentioned that hands-on experience is also important. So what kind of hands-on experience and like what kind of jobs have you done on top of the schooling that you have?
Right. Yes, hands-on experiences. I did mention that earlier, and it is very important, as you said. The thing with hands-on experiences, you got to put yourself out there, right? Just talk to people. It's like, hey, this is what I want to do. Is there any volunteer opportunity for me here? Can I come in a few times a week and maybe just shadow you, or can I volunteer and put in some, you know, some time to learn what you're doing or how this industry works? Because I think that the first place, and that's how I got started, is volunteering. You know, I started out Assistive Technology Resource Centers of Hawaii, you know, out of school. That's where I first worked. I started helping out there. I was working part-time, you know, while I was still going to college. And I worked there with Barbara, who's the executive director there. But there, you know, I did that. And then along with that, I do have to mention, I did work for a GDH for a while too. I had to plug that. You know, Jeannie did give me the opportunity to do some IT work for her too. So I did get that opportunity. So I do appreciate GDH giving me that opportunity too. So I have that on my resume. When I was in school, for undergrad too, you know, we had to do a practicum. So I had to find a place where to kind of have a semester project or a job. So I had to find a place that would give me a place to do my practicum.
You put in your hours in volunteering, and you know, mm-hmm. you have that experience on your resume. But did your visual impairment cause any adversity in obtaining your position?
Okay, so I think in that regards, I would say that the positions that I got, you know, in the beginning, really, I did not have too much of a challenge. And the reason why I say that is because I stayed within the community, you know, the blind community, as I mentioned, right? ATRC serves people with disabilities. GDH serves people with disabilities. Then my internship that I applied for as well. For my practicum in school, they also ended up, you know, they serve people with disability, not with blindness or vision, but you know, they serve a different purpose, a different sector of a disability community. And then of course my fellowship that I had with the university, I was the only blind student there. But that being said, my professors and the professors that I was working with, they're university professors. You know, they look at your grades, they look at your work ethic. They see who you are as a person in the classroom, and when you speak to them. So really, your disability doesn't really matter to them, because it's about your work ethic and you know what you can do. So again, it's a university project, right? So you're kind of in now the only place where I kind of had to expand this. Once I was on the job, like once I was at my practicum, you know, for the university, was then I am put in with 10 to 12 other students who are all sighted, and I'm the only blind person. So now you're put in the situation in my fellowship at the university, how do I work with these people? These people don't even know who I am. They've never seen my face before. So you have to introduce yourself to a new group of people who don't even know what blindness is. Don't even know what they may have an idea of what blindness is, but just what the media may say and what they may read in books and in other forms of media. But they may not have firsthand experience. So you're their firsthand experience. So, you know, when you integrate yourself into these workspaces that you may be the only blind person, you need to advocate for yourself, but you also need to educate people around you and tell them, like, you know, be very, don't be rude about it. If they have questions, don't correct them, you know, their language. I think that's one thing you need to make in mind, is don't correct their language, right away, because you don't know who they are, right? You need to just go past that for a moment and explain your disability, you know, tell them what you can see, tell them how you work, explain to them, give them details about your workflow. You know, how do you do your day-to-day routine? If they ask, don't give information without without the questions coming up, you know, in conversation. Just, you know, make it come naturally, and over time, as they work with you, you know, they'll see your work ethic, they'll see how you work, and they respect that.
I would imagine that these accommodations and the amount of technology available to you wasn't as advanced as it is today when you were first starting out and when you were in school. So what kind of technology did you have access to then, and what have you been able to add over the years?
I remember when I was a kid, I had this big cassette tape player, we went to the, you know, the Library for the Blind, you know, as you all go to, and you would rent the cassette tapes, and there'd be this box full of maybe 6 to 8 tapes, and they'd be labeled 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's because you couldn't fit, you know, back then you couldn't fit, you know, because when you did a voiceover, you can't, the tape wasn't long enough, or, you know, the technology wasn't there to have it all in one tape. You know, it's not big enough, right? So in order for them to put it on tape, they had to have 5 or 6 tapes or more to accommodate the whole book. When you would do your reading, just reading the casual books. So that's where I came from, you know. And then, of course, CDs came along, like I said. And then Victor Readers streams came along, and I had one of those. And then your iPhones and your smartphones, those things came along, and then those things made things so much easier. You know, you just have everything on your phone. What is, you're not holding any third party devices, anything, every, you just, nowadays, a lot of you guys can just go to Audible or, the Library for the Blind has, you know, you guys have your own streaming services, and there's so many other free services that the public libraries offer for audiobooks that you can either get an app on your phone for today that required a physical device back in the day, a proprietary device from the library. So I think that's in that's reading has, you know, the way we read and listen to books has changed a lot, in that sense. And I would say, you know, going back to CCTVs, you know, like I said, I had a dedicated desk on wheels that had my CCTV on it. And that either was in the front or the side of the room, depending on the layout of the classroom. That's how it went. And what would happen is, I would have an assistant that would come, you know, that would work at me in school, and not, you know, in a consolidated classroom, right? I was considered mainstream. So I'd go class to class like a lot of you are going as well. So that table was on wheels. And so because it had all of my equipment on it, it had to go to each classroom that I went to, my English class, my science class, my history class, so on and so forth. You know, that things were like that. But in today's age, you know, you can just have your CCTV, like a camera, right? Because it comes in a camera now. It's like USB. You plug it into the USB port on your laptop. I guess, you know, you can stick it in your bag and go, right? I have one of those. The Freedom Scientific, some other companies, they all have cameras that they just fit in like a bag and you can just take it, right? I have one of those now too. It's just USB powered. Or you can plug it into an external monitor. I think that technology came kind of when I was in high school, going into college. So, you know, at least it started out that way at least. So yeah, you know, I think that technology has really evolved and changed.
What would an average day be like for you at work?
So my day-to-day job is basically helping people, right? Touching technology every day, different technologies. You know, at help desk, you know, your customer service for the employees. You talk to everybody in the company, literally, right? Everybody from the security guard that is outside of buildings to VPs, right? That's the range of people that I speak to on a daily basis, you know, supporting their needs, right? That could be from, okay, you know, I got a new computer, I need help setting it up, to, hey, my computer is isolated. I need to get back on a network. Can you help me to get back on network? I've been out for X, Y, Z months, and I need help getting updates so my computer can be compliant with their security policies. To say, hey, I'm a new hire. You know, today's my first day. I need to get my equipment set up. You know, can you help me do that? I got a new phone, or I do have a phone. I would like to put my corporate email on my phone. Can you help me with that? Then sometimes we get a security alert saying, hey, we need to keep it. So that's kind of my daily job is, right, is helping people with their technical needs, you know, answering their questions. So making sure that they can do their job as efficiently as possible, so the company can keep working and earning monies, right? It's all about efficiency, right? So in my job, yeah, you just think, okay, I'm IT help desk, but if you really think of my job, it's not just about helping that one person and fixing his problem. Because if I can't resolve that one person's problem, that means that team that he or she is a part of is not going to be efficient and functional. And in turn, the product or the project they're working on is going to get behind. And therefore, the larger company is going to not be able to release a product or deliver on their promise to a customer on time, right? So when you think about my job, you think about an IT help desk, but when you look at the big picture, you're kind of that backbone of the company, right? if someone's computer goes down, if they're not able to communicate with a stakeholder or a colleague of theirs, then projects get delayed. And then when projects get delayed, there's money that means projects your projects are already financed, right? You have projects where they have budgets. That means how are they going to spend their monies? How is the company going to allocate monies to these projects if they get delayed? That means if they don't get finished and these delays don't get done. So if you think about my job in the big picture, it's really about keeping the company running efficiently. It's making sure that the employees of Amazon and of our contractors keep working to keep the wheels turning.
If you were talking to someone with a visual impairment who wanted to have the same job as you, what advice would you give them?
Honestly, number one advice I'd give to you is find out what you want to do. You know, who are you, right? What are your interests? I think that you need to find what you're interested in. And once you find that, you need to look at how are you going to get there? What is, you know, write down how you're going to get to your goal, right? What education do you need? What level of education and what level of education do you need? What certifications do you need to look at and get to get those things to get that job or be in that role? Also look at where you want to work. You know, do you want to stay in Hawaii? Do you want to expand your horizons and maybe go to the mainland? Maybe move to an international, just work internationally. You know, where do you see yourself working? Do you see yourself working in a corporate environment like I am, working at Amazon, like in a big environment? Or do you see yourself working maybe in a smaller nonprofit, or maybe a smaller company? Or do you see yourself working in the government sector? Where do you see yourself working, right? So you could kind of think about that as well. So that's the kind of advice I'd give to you. You know, think about where you want to be, think about what career path you want to take, and where you and what steps you can take there, what education you need, what certifications do you need, and what experiences do you need as well? Do you need to get and how are you going to get those? How are you going to get those experiences? Like I said, volunteer work, talking to friends, looking for internships. If you're in school, look at fellowships. Putting yourself out there, just applying for jobs. But yeah, that's kind of the advice that I'll give you folks. So, if you guys have any questions or advice, you guys can reach out to me. Maybe if I give you my email address, you can maybe put that out there and give them the email address. So if any of the students are interested in technology or in tech, they're more than happy to kind of talk with you folks. And, you know, I think part of my goal too is for me, is to be that leader for you folks, right? To be that person you can see, okay, I'm blind, he's visually impaired, I'm visually impaired. It doesn't matter, but you can go anywhere in the world. And that's kind of one of my goals in life, is to keep making myself a better person and to move that, to break barriers for myself, right? And if I can do that and I show that to others and people learn from that, I think that's the fulfilling thing, is if I can teach people how to do that and they learn from my experiences, my triumphs and my And when I fall down and you learn from the good and the bad, I think that we can just make this community a better place. So I really appreciate your time and thank you for having me on this podcast. So I'd be happy to speak with your students and I'd be happy to share my email with them and whatnot, and we can keep in touch.
As we draw to a close with this episode, I want to thank you for joining me. I hope you enjoyed your visit and found useful information. We welcome your feedback at feedback@guidedogsofhawaii.org. It would be great if you would visit us on our social media platforms, such as Instagram and Facebook. You can find us by simply searching for Guide Dogs of Hawaii.